Now, welcome to Christian Men's Life Group. I'm Ken. Joining me today is Paul and Edgar. How you doing, guys?
Doing great, Ken. Hey, Edgar.
You know what? This is awesome,
Been a
guys.
busy.
This is in a making of a couple of weeks. We've been trying to get together, and for some reason, we just have not been able to get together. So we decided to do a episode on artificial intelligence and God. These questions are from Paul, and this is actually going to be probably a part. It's probably going to be separated into three parts. So first question, Paul, what is wisdom, understanding, and intelligence according to the Bible? Can you get that one, Paul?
Sure, no problem. Well, yes, our topic is definitely going to be breaching the AI subject and trying to do our best to discern our way through it in a fair way that's not full of conspiracy, and making sure that we're staying on task and really trying to do our best to make sure that we're being fair to this, because it's at its infancy and we're going to see where it's going from here. So again, take us out. We'll see what, we'll look back at this 5 years from now and go, okay, what's happening, you know, and see what's the, if these things came true or not. So that'd be kind of interesting. So the first question about the wisdom and about the Bible, I think one of the first things I like to look at, something a little bit untypical, is actually Proverbs chapter 3, verses 19 through 21. By wisdom, the Lord laid the earth's foundations. By understanding, he set the heavens in place. By his knowledge, the watery depths were divided, and the clouds let drop the dew. My son, do not let wisdom and understanding out of your sight. Preserve sound judgment and discretion. So that's a really big part to this stuff, because it says, what's this, how does this help you? It's a, will be life for you in the next verse, an ornament of grace to your neck. And then when you go on your way in safety, and your foot will not stumble. So there's a really big part to this. Like, how do we avoid stumbling? How do we go towards life? How do we go in a way that is closer to the Lord and understanding this part and everything? Because, you know, you go back to Proverbs, you know, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, everything like that. But the big part too is like, okay, understanding this in the most practical way possible. Because again, the Lord says in chapter 3, trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding, right? In all your ways, submit to him and he will make your path straight. So also we see a situation here. So we have God being an omniscient, absolute creator and a omnipresent creator too. And one that is able to function from eternal to eternal in time, making it in a very way that's probably, it's very different from our own, so to say. He is a grand, above all, creator that there is like no other. And so we have this part where there's a wisdom and understanding, and there's a knowledge base that God has that lets him be omnipresent and omniscient in a way. And so with that, we have to say, okay, we have to take a grain of salt to our own selves. We're trying to apply our human minds that has biological firing and trying to make this happen, you know, when we see obviously God here has, you know, functions in a way that is higher than our own ways. And he's showing us the path that we need to go on. I think this is one of the biggest part is to go, okay, I think the first step to getting wisdom and getting understanding and understand from the Bible's perspective is we first need to humble ourselves. Because if we're blinded and we don't go and partake into this stuff, and we're just absolutely trying to see, okay, I can do that, I can do this, and we're not in getting focus on the Lord, it's going to be hard to get to the understanding of understanding of wisdom and everything like that. So understanding, first part, which we can go and see from here. Understanding is that ability to go through, gather the pieces. And I think this pieces that the Lord speaks to here is the word, to understand the word, to understand the context, to understand the times. We need to go and have those pieces, like those foundations. Those are like the literal blocks. So the understand the Bible lays out to us is going to be the blocks that we're going to build from. And God always calls to us to have in the Bible a firm foundation. Obviously, that's in him, meaning that we have the eternal, not the temporary, going building up onto this. But the actual word, that sovereignty that the Lord has gone and done, is going to be those building blocks called understanding. And the wisdom that the Lord has and what it is in the Bible is being able to construct those blocks in a way that is able to create basically the kingdom of God. Meaning, if we put away our own selves, we put on God, and we go and take these things and we go and construct it together, it should be using the understanding of the word to go and put into an action, being wise with our own selves, meditating on the word, taking those moments to be able to construct, for instance, a pillar, or more importantly, an arch, for this example, because we see that Jesus is labeled as a cornerstone in the Bible. And this idea being, what is a cornerstone from which all this understanding is going from? Because obviously he is the living word, is the Lord, is that we have this cornerstone, which it all arches up to him, meaning we build understanding, we're putting this in the place, we're applying wisdom, but him being the centerpiece, being the head of it, is a key part. So one, know the author. Two, know that wisdom is the thing that lets you be able to take these pieces and work them together. So how does this actually equate, like in the Bible? So we obviously see in Solomon, you know, the big thing from this is, what was the thing he requested? He requested not gold, but he requested the ability to be able to lead his people in a way with righteous judgment, you know, a real judgment and a real ability to go through this. And that was a key part to seeing that, you know, the Lord rewarded him with the riches and everything like that, because he seeked not after riches. He seeked after actual wisdom. And I think that's a very important key in part, is seeing how did that actually happen? So as you know, in the story in the Bible, he goes through, and one of the first things is, how can he discern the child of the two mothers, right? We have that story that's presented to us, and we go through and see, okay, he has to divide up what's happening here. And when he's dividing this up, you know, he's obviously using his wisdom to go, okay, if we can't choose who the mother is, we're just going to divide the child, right? And we see the mother is like, no, I'll take it. And so we can see that there's obviously the idea is, I'll give up the child. We can know who that real mother is. So he uses his ability to understand people, the world, emotions in a way that lets him be able to execute discernment and execute judgment. And by doing this, that lets him be able to use this wisdom to make it happen. In other words, I like to look at it as, it is the understanding in a way is the thing that's going to be able to sharpen that sword, right? Iron sharpens iron. So you're going to be able to go and do that. And wisdom is the ability to know when to use it, how to use it, and the actual best application for it. So we want to create the highest level of utility. So we can see here with understanding, you know, what is the wisdom of the Lord? And if you still look back to Proverbs 3, again, 19, you know, that is an actual thing that actually laid the earth's foundations. So that's a big part. So there is a huge thing. So he understands this works. And by understanding, he set the heavens in place, and knowledge of what the watery depths were divided. So we can see that these all three components are working together with themselves. And obviously, God is going to see this as you look back to wisdom in James 1, chapter 1, verse 5. If any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask God, who is generously to all without reproach, and it will be given to him. And so we go and see this. And so what's the type of wisdom that we're kind of looking to in the Bible too? It's James 3, 17. But the wisdom from above is first pure, peaceable, gentle, open to reason, full of mercy and good fruits, and impartial and sincere. I think the biggest part, just like I was starting this off, is that we need to take off the pride and everything like that, because we can see that pride is probably the biggest interferences to gaining wisdom, understanding wisdom, and making this happen. So that's the key words. We're removing impartiality. We're going to make sure that we're not being partial. We're going to be open to reason. In other words, you're not going to be so standoffish that there is, you can't examine each side, because I think what that point is, it just, when you break down communication, things aren't going to happen. It needs to be gentle and peaceable, which is absolutely an important thing. And so a lot of times people think wisdom is strength, right? But in reality of this stuff, wisdom is that ability to be able to reason through this in a peaceable way with mercy and good fruit. So we're looking at the Lord, but we obviously see that, you know, what's going to happen? A fool will despise this instruction. They'll go, I need the strength. I need these things. And they're just going to fall into this stuff, leaning again upon their own selves. So that's kind of my thought onto this situation. I'd love to hear from you guys and what you guys think about it.
I appreciate that, Paul. Edgar, same question to you, bud.
Okay. What is wisdom, understanding, and intelligence according to the Bible? Now, I will say that in the biblical context, wisdom is an accumulation of knowledge. And the best example that I can think of, it's the fire. You know, we use fire to cook. We use fire for many things, you know. So we have the knowledge of what fire is, where it comes from, and how to use it. But applying the wisdom is knowing not to touch it, you know, not to leave it on unattended, because it can burn your house. It can do big damage. So now if we apply these in the biblical context, I can easily apply it with this Bible verse. Okay, in Proverbs 9:10, it says, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and the knowledge of the Holy One is understanding. Now, if we want to have wisdom, we have to seek God. We need to find that wisdom in the Bible, because there is where we can find how to live every day. There is where we can see how to apply the knowledge that God gave us. You know, and here's another Bible verse that aligns to this. And it's in Proverbs 11:2. And it says, when pride comes, then comes disgrace. But with humility comes wisdom. Now, if we humble ourselves, God is going to give us wisdom, you know? And humbling ourselves before God, it's, I think, the most intelligent thing that we can do, because that way we are surrendering everything to Him so He can be the one that teaches the way. For us not to live the way we used to live, for us to do the things that we used to do before we met Him, before we had an encounter with Him. If we continue living the same way we're living before Him, then it's going to be something like the example that I said at the beginning with the fire, you know? Even though if you know things, even though you know why things work and how things are, you're not going to have the wisdom of how to apply it in your daily life. Now, understanding in this sense involves discerning, and discerning in the deeper meanings and intentions behind God's word. And I will say that it's about seeking insight into His character and purposes, allowing us to navigate life complexities with discernment. Now, intelligence, while often associated with cognitive ability in the biblical framework, it refers to the capacity to comprehend and apply God's truths effectively. Now, I want to say that it's about cultivating our mind that is transformed and renewed, as Paul exhorts in Romans 12:2. It says, do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Now, how do we renew our mind? How do we renew our mind every day? With the wisdom of the Lord. You know, therefore, wisdom is understanding. I mean, wisdom, understanding, and intelligence are interconnected phases of the faith-filled life, guiding us to live in a manner that reflects God, you know, God's glory and God's purposes. So, yeah, back to you, brother.
All right, Edgar. Well, hey, I really appreciate it. You guys pretty much nailed it. I just got a small thing over here. According to the Bible, wisdom refers to the ability to apply knowledge and understanding in a way that aligns with God's will, essentially making good decisions based on a deeper understanding of life situations. Understanding is the capacity to comprehend and discern information, often through study of God's word, and intelligent is a mental sharpness to acquire knowledge, process information, but without the necessary application of wisdom to act righteously. Well, on to question number two. And actually, this is a great question. I can't wait to hear your guys' viewpoint on it. Paul, what do you think about the future will look like with artificial intelligence? Can you get that one, Paul?
Absolutely. I think there's a lot of things to cover with that. I mean, there is definitely a moral, ethical, business, and just almost every single field is going to be, I think, personally transformed by AI in the future. And AI, in my mind, can be many different forms. I mean, essentially, this has to be built from the ground up, having a actual intelligence basis. You know, we call this like the language models, you know, the large LLMs, what they are. And I think what's going to happen from this is direct competition due to this being such a versatile field and be able to use in so many different ways. It's going to affect almost every single actual industry out there. And it's going to come down spiritually and to ethics too. So to kind of like go across this industry part, I think one of the biggest things from this is it's going to create, I think in the future, generative agents where they are going to be literally, you can hire your own blog writer, you can hire your own video editor. And what's going to happen is there's going to be essentially agents that will go and do a specific task for you. And there's going to be actual things above those agents that actually can go and task the agents to do the tasks that you need. So from a higher level, there could be like a manager of those agents that you have, and those will go and do the things that you instruct it to. So I think one of the future things that are, you know, a couple of years down the line, we're going to see there's people that are managed, basically an executive assistant function. That's what's going to, I think, build from here, where you're going to be able to talk to your executive assistant, and your executive assistant is going to have a host of agents that are going to be able to do the things that you need it to do. And I think that's a very key part. And then on the sub side, kind of looking at other parts, you know, from healthcare, I mean, obviously myself being in healthcare, I mean, I saw the other day a strep identification tool, right? So AI is used for cancer identification. It's used to even grade Pokemon cards nowadays. And we go here and look at this and we say, okay, we're seeing these agents giving them a good opinion to a point where they publish papers, and those papers have been accepted in a way that actually shows that they are sometimes outperforming radiology, you know, and that's something very, very, it's almost challenging. Imagine your field being challenged in that way. And there's obviously, it's that exact sample along those lines. It's not going to completely get rid of it. But I think we're going to be in a way that either you're behind the curve or ahead the curve. It's going to be a thing like this. There's going to be a division of people, I think, in the future who use AI and are going to be against AI and what it does. So it's going to be, I think, very emotional in the future. I think it's a very key thing. Now, getting back to the spiritual part of this, I think in the future, where we don't see this as much, but is definitely coming, and Logos is starting to use it to, I would have to say, use it to identify things in a way that lets you be able to use your program easier, which is nice. And so that basically you search a little bit better. But I really think in the future, what's going to happen is, and people do use this in the community, and I see this being done, is where they actually get the textual criticism, they get actual papers, they get podcast transcripts, and they put these into libraries, and they use these libraries to go through and kind of basically use it as the quote-unquote information it has, so they can go through and kind of quiz either themselves or go and use it to be able to just find out more and use it as a kind of authoritarian person. And this is where it's going to get a little scary, but we'll kind of reach into that later. But I think that big part is this is that it's going to be the next Google in terms of your search life when it comes to spiritual things. And I think it's going to fly off the walls potentially. If the model's well, I really, very well feel that Christ is one of the best evidences out there. And I think he is one of the most historically proven to be authentically God. And I think this is like one of the most amazing things. So it can be in a very positive way. But I think the future with AI is we're going to see people actually, you know, back in the day going to their Catholic priests or going to their Lutheran priests, be like, hey, what do you think about this? And then people start going to Google. Then after they went to Google, they started going to what's the TikToker saying and everything like that. And you can see it's a way and a tool that is going to be used in that way to be able to, I guess, summarize information. Because what's going to happen, I think the world is going to be pushed for this, is a crunch for time. So you're going to have less time to do research. You're going to have less time with this stuff because the world tells you, you need to do this, this, and this. And rather than using the tools God has and to seek him, I think one of the big parts from this is people are going to use this to get a quick summary, and how accurate that summary is and its biases and the algorithms that are written in there is going to be very, very key. So I think it's a big part of discernment in the future. But I really see people using AI like they would use their assistant on their phone, and it's going to be connected to financial things. It's going to be connected to their medical records. It's going to be connected to their medical healthcare team. It's going to be very large and vast, and it's going to reach into all these different areas, and it's going to be just on every corner. And it's going to be, I think, difficult for some people to adopt. But for others, they can use it as a springboard to kind of leash right into the future with all of this. I really think inspiration is going to be hindered in a way. Usually a lot of us learn from being able to use our reasoning abilities. So if we do not use reason and we do not try to apply that knowledge and understanding, what's going to happen is that tool of your mind is going to be very much dependent on it, almost as though you're dependent on, for instance, a mapping program now, versus back a couple of years ago, you would have a better person that could tell you take this street and this street. But we're seeing studies now that are people are actually not being able to basically put themselves in the position, it's like a proprioception like thing, where they don't know where they are. They're losing direction even further and more from this time. I think this is what's going to affect us the most, is that there's going to be such a heavy dependence on the AI agents that we're going to, I think, potentially lose a lot of discernment. And that's going to be a scary situation, because they're going to go to the AI agent as the authority. And that's where things might get a little tough, especially when things come to law. I don't want to take up all the time, but what do you guys also think about some of the future? And we'll touch on more things in my thoughts in the, later.
You know, Paul, I really appreciate your answer. And you know what? Artificial intelligence, it's going to help us in the long run, but it's also, there's a lot of pros to it and there's a lot of cons, like you were saying. And I'm going to give you an example, because this barely just happened. And right when you were talking about maps, you know, I grew up in a generation of Thomas guys, and I'm not sure if you guys, you know, this is probably way beyond, but what, before MapQuest, we actually had to look into a Thomas guide and actually look for our location, pretty much go by the map. It was difficult. It was a two-person job. And then we got into MapQuest, which was a printed out, turn right here, turn right here. And then now, everyone is using your phone to get where you want to go. Well, the funniest story is, this just barely happened yesterday. Picked up my son's car. This is literally a mile away from the house. I go and I'm following him. He's going the opposite direction. Where is this kid going? And then I go over and there's a bunch of cars behind him. So I was trying to catch up to him. And then I saw him coming down on the opposite, going southbound. Where is this kid going? So he goes down to the main street where we're at. Instead of making a left, he makes a right. Literally, he goes 5 miles away from the house. I see him park over there, putting his hands over his head. Roll down the window. What's going on? I had a brain fart. I don't know where I'm at. I had his phone. he had no ability to get to the house. That's what's scary, because, you know, it makes us lazy. It's great to get that information, but you know what? We also have to be able to know where we're at, or we're going to be totally lost. So, Edgar, this same question to you, buddy.
This AI, I think, is going to replace so many things in our lives that at a certain point, like you said, it's going to make us feel lazy, you know, because we're not going to have to even think for ourselves about something. We just go there and we ask whichever app or platform that is the one that is going to align to what we need, and we're going to get an answer right away. And it's funny because before AI was officially like worldwide, something that everybody's aware of, we were using it without knowing in the chatbots, you know, on Messenger, on many stores, many pages. Like you will send a message and you will receive a message reply right away. And you didn't even know that you were not talking to a real person, but AI was being crafted to the point that it make you think that you were talking to a real agent or real person, you know, and you will ask things and they will reply to you right away. And it will be like, man, these people have really good customer service. And then in the end, you'll find out that it was a chatbot, you know, and that's just an example. Now, the AI that we see now in 2025 is changing the world, man, and so many areas, and automation of tasks and personalization at scale, healthcare, education, transformation, business models, like everything that you have to actually put an effort to it, AI is doing it for you. And I believe that AI giving us these to us is going to make us trust it even more. But we got to be aware, because AI should serve, you know, humanity, not to control it, not to dominate. And sadly, the Bible warns us about this, that at the end of times, you know, that all of this is going to multiply. And before, we will think that it was going to be something completely different. Now we're seeing it like that, and we can apply it to what the Bible says. And this is it. This is what we're living, you know? All of these crazy stuff that are happening. But the thing is that at a certain point, we are going to end up using AI for most of our needs, most of our things. And these are several types of AI, depending on the capabilities. Let me mention a few. You know, narrow AI is designed to handle specific tasks or set of tasks, but cannot perform beyond his program abilities. Now, general AI, I think this is the one that we use the most, is the one that has the ability to understand, learn, and apply knowledge across broad range of tasks. Now, reactive AI, this is the tricky one, makes decisions based on current situations and inputs without using past experiences to inform those decisions. So these are some types of AI that we get to experience in our daily lives. Now, this is something that is changing and is going to leave us with so many people losing their jobs. And the thing is that with the growth in these various types of AI, there's fear. You know, there's certain fear that soon this is going to replace humans, and it's going to render human effort like obsolete, you know? But this has repeatedly been the case over the years with the introduction of new technology. And there was a time when people thought that computers will replace them. Well, guess what? We're living that time. People even thought that once cars were going to be dangerous, and a man would run ahead waving a flag to warn others of the oncoming danger or something like that. You know, we're getting there. We're getting there. And the reality is that technology is here to serve us, you know, not to control us and not to dominate us. So we got to be aware of all of these things. Now, if we envision the future with AI, we should strive to ensure that these advancements, they promote justice, compassion, and the stewardship of God's creation. So by doing so, we can harness AI potential while upholding our commitment to love and serve others, reflecting the character of Christ in a technology evolving world. And I've seen ads, I don't know if you guys have seen these ads as well, that there's already an app that can make your sermons, you know? So you don't even have to think, you don't even have to open the Bible. You just say the task or the subject that you want to talk about, and then he spits it out right away, right there. And you just have to copy paste and read it to your people. Those things, I will say that they're dangerous because they don't have the essence, you know? It's like he's telling you, like, you don't have to look for God. Look, what you're looking for, what you need to do is right here, right here. Just copy paste. Just give them this. And this for me is like an empty, empty dish. You know, you don't get the essence. You don't get to experience the whole thing when you go to the Bible and you start reading and you start investigating, you know, and God starts speaking with you, you know, and he starts revealing you things. And soon this is going to be more common than we know, to the point that we're not going to even be able to discern if what we're hearing was generated by AI or if it was something that it came truly from other persons. Man, this is something crazy. So yeah, that's what I think.
All right, guys. Well, thank you very much. That was some great conversations. So we just want to thank you for joining us, and bye for now.